turning with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I don't know if you know of anyone who like to keep a lot of stuff. Their closets and their wardrobes are always filled with stuff that they may never ever use. Just like to collect stuff. No one can touch their stuff. They don't need it, but they want to hold on to it. But many Christians have a lot of stuff in their closets, in their lives, in their hearts. The stuff is worry and anxiety. Times God must silence me when it comes to worry and anxiety. In 1 Peter 5, 7, the apostle offers the antidote and the solution for worry and anxiety. Casting all, not some, all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Peter did not say carry your anxiety, but cast them. Or it'd be foolish to think that many of us today doesn't have anxiety. We may not share it, but it's there. Somewhat like throwing away something, handing it over. Peter did not say to cast your care upon somebody else. You know, some people like to bombard you with their worries. He didn't say that. He said, cast your care upon him. Somewhat like what Jonah said to the men on board the ship. He said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is on you. We talk about Jonah. But what Jonah did required great faith. Jonah knew that if God wanted him to go to Nineveh, he had to get him there. And he committed himself to the sea. He cast his care upon God. Jonah was the cause of worry. He brought distress upon the ship. You know, some people bring distress to the church, you know. After he was cast into the sea, the worry ceased. This is the idea. Today we don't cast people away in the sea. Some of them deserve that, but we don't do that. But we cast our anxiety in the depths of the seas or sin. That's where Jesus put them, you know. The worst thing we can do is to weigh down others with our cares, because they're not able to bear their cares and yours also. So the best place to cast them is on him. The one thing we can say about our Lord is that his back is broad enough for all of our cares. Isaiah says, surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The scripture here says, he has borne our griefs, all of them. Sister Lucy, you're here by God's grace. This should be a comfort to you. To understand whom Peter is addressing, one has to look closely at the context of the book of 1 Peter. Peter is addressing Christians who were experiencing various forms of suffering. The word is used 19 times. For bearing the name of Christ. And that caused anxiety. Throughout the book of 1 Peter, the writer is showing that Christians will suffer in one form or the other. If you're not suffering from something now, arm yourself for later. We may not suffer from the hands of evil men, but we may endure many other forms of suffering. As I heard the men say, this current pandemic has caused much anxiety. It's a form of suffering for God's people. Suffering is a tool designed by God to conform His people to the image of His Son. That's why the songwriter says, they are God's messengers. You just sung the hymn. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:11, 12, it is a fearful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. God allows men to suffer by permitting diseases to invade our bodies, that they may call upon His name. The best thing for some men is a dose of prostate cancer, because some of us are beside ourselves. Others suffer because of their own sin. Their sin has created consequences of suffering. Many may deny the very Christ they claim when they face suffering in the way they respond. And there are a good many in this church. That's why you have to preempt your messages sometimes. David said in Psalm 141, 55, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil. It shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. He says, let the righteous smite me. Of course, the righteous is Christ. Times He may use somebody righteous. He's the one that smites us. But we often think that it is the devil that is smiting us. It could be. But the Lord is in control of the smiting. Suffering for a believer is not permanent. It's not permanent. For an unbeliever, it will be. But not for the believer. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10 and 11, the God of all grace, who have called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God is about to settle us through suffering. Don't be anxious. This is part of the Lord's gracious calling in the lives of His people. It's a means by which He shapes our lives and is glorified. We live in a fallen world among fallen sinners. Chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Peter gives us a warning, saying, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters, nosy. Always want to know people's business. We call it malicious. You know how some of us are. Don't suffer because of that. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Sometimes people come down with sickness, and they feel that sickness is for dogs. They don't even confide in the brethren in the church and say, pray for my wife or my this, because I just learned that she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
We are like that, secretive
among God. And Peter gave us instruction.
Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
This suffering. Everybody know who I had. I ain't got no problem.
Part of the suffering Christians encounter are the hardships and the concerns of this life that we have no control over.
None whatsoever.
They cause anxiety. You know what the word means? To pull apart. This is why this counsel is valuable. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice first what came before the apostolic exhortation in verse 7. Peter called attention to the elders' responsibility to feed, to take oversight willingly, to lead by example. After he says in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the older, or to the elders. The elders here mean those older in the faith. And I'm concerned for some of our young people and how disrespectful they are to older people. As young as they are, you see defiance right in them. And some of you have some that you better nurture in the fear of God. And you better break their wills at a young age, lest you raise a villain right in your house. Peter says, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Christians are called to submission in whatever form or sphere of life you find yourself. You are called to submission, whether it be in the civil realm, the place of work, or in the church, or even at home. We are called to submission. And this often creates anxiety because we don't like the people that we're called to submit under. But that's not our business. By nature, we don't want to submit to anyone. Who made you a judge and a ruler over me? Hence the apostle reminds us, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's a measure of humility to submit to somebody else. And that's what some of you don't want. That's why you have rivalry. Then Peter gives this exhortation, casting all your care upon him. Here we see in this verse, number one, our stated problem. Our stated problem is anxiety. Casting all your anxiety upon him. If there were ever a time of worry and care in our lives, it is this very season we're living in. The apostle calls on us to cast our care upon Christ. Pride can become the greatest barrier to one casting their care upon God. But humility always comes before exaltation. And Peter tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt us. Our problem is the cares of this life. Peter uses the singular word, care. All your anxieties and worries in this life is summarized as care. One big lump put together. Care. You know, all the strategies that the world have come up with, no one wants to call upon the Lord. No one would ever say, I am praying that the Lord will get us through this whatever. None! I would be foolish, brethren, dear brethren, to dispute that you and me, to some degree, do not have cause to worry in this life. I will be insensitive to say that life is easy for you. We have seen many changes in the lives of some of our people over the past 12 months. Many. I don't feel your hurt. You don't feel my hurt. But this is not our problem. The loss of life of a loved one. The sickness we have been inflicted with. Our problem is cares and anxiety. Playing God. The loss of a job. Finances dwindling. The ailing of our bodies because of our age. And probably, as I said, the loss of loved ones. May I say that Jesus offers counsel. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And by the way, that clothe you may not be talking about a new suit from Macy's, but it may be speaking of the clothing he has for you in heaven. Should he not complete his salvation in you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? The Lord compares us to grass. Appears for a little while. It's dried up. Ever so often you look in the mirror, that's exactly what we are. One year we have flourishing head of hair. The next time we look wrong, we have no hair. You ladies are fortunate because you have something you can snap on the top of your head. And some men who beside themselves are doing it too. But God tells us, look at the grass. Takes care of the grass. And no one, by worry, can add a year or a day or an inch. I wanted to be 6 foot two. And the Lord says, yeah, I got news for you. All of my friends playing basketball were 6 feet. Worry doesn't change anything. That's all I'm telling you, brethren. Our stated problem, anxiety about life, what may befall us, how long I'm going to wait before I meet this person, how long, I can't go on. Anxiety to the point of paranoia. Paranoid. Fear, worry. But being infected by the virus. Paul the Apostle used this same word in Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word be careful is the word be anxious for nothing in this verse. It's from the same root form of the word care. Being pulled apart. Paul says be thankful. Why is anxiety and worry a problem? Because it renders one fruitless, Charlie. It will blight the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life. And everybody I know that are always complaining in this church, I never see no fruit in them. And some of them should be here today. They're here. But they ain't here, maybe. Fruit such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. Here's what the Lord said in the parable in Matthew 13:22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, same word, of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he, the person, becometh unfruitful. Anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety upon him. The casting is a continuous casting, because our care, our cares and anxiety are continuous. Every day. What is chaos? This is our stated problem. Our Lord says that it is the care of this world that renders a person fruitless, deprives them of spiritual usefulness. Anxiety will also deprive one from that sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It will deprive us of fellowship with the Lord's people, the very thing that God commands with his people. It will deprive us. When you and I begin to slip away in fellowship, it's because Satan has already won with you. He has already taken over some of you. The word here in 1 Peter to cast our care upon him is the same word Jesus used when rebuking Martha in Luke 10, 41 and 42. You know, Martha was missing out on the presence and ministry of the Savior from his word. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful." There's the word again. "You are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha, anxious. Anxious about what? Giving the Lord a peanut butter sandwich. Mary found a way not to be anxious. She was at Jesus' feet. Anxiety and worry are just another sin that you and I are called to conquer. When the doctor diagnosed me back then with prostate cancer, I never slept so good. You gonna ask my wife? That's true. Ask her. You think that I'm gonna let that consume me? And some of you, when you have an appointment next week, start worrying until the time comes, until you leave the doctor. And that's why you can't tell nobody prayer, because you're secretive. Creates fear, anxiety, instead of faith and trust. It breeds torment instead of trust. So this is my first point, our stated problem: anxiety, cares of this world that cause anxiety. Our instruction, 2. Same verse, casting all your care upon him. This is a command, an imperative one, a must. It is not an option. The reason why I say it is a command is because it is somewhat like the words of the Lord Jesus that we heard a few weeks ago from Brother Frank. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Notice the verbs here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The command, come. It's a verb. Come. All who labor. Labor with what? Labor with burdens of this world. Worry. The future we face. The tragedies we have encountered. We are commanded to exchange them for rest by coming, by learning, by taking. We're further told in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 12, verse 2, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of faith. Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he had something to look forward to. Endure the cross. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it is something to look forward to. Weights, extra luggage. I know some people that whenever they travel, they always have overweight. That boy, you like that? They carry on baggage just as heavy as a suitcase. They love overweight, always paying the airlines money. Overweight, half of the things they don't even want. Not necessary, less. I never see an athlete, did they hire me this year, running the New York City Marathon with a backpack on. And some of us want to run the Christian race with a backpack. Coming here with it, complaining. Frown on your face. From the time they walk in, a frown is there. Poor ushers can't even sit them to a seat. A frown on their face. They come into worship. They're not joyful. They've got a backpack on, luggage in this church, hang ups. Anxiety is just another thing that we like to hold on to, worry about things I cannot change. Life is too short. Worry demonstrate a lack of trust in the sovereign God who was ordered by his providence circumstances in our lives as Christians. And worry is an affront to faith and obedience. God says to Moses, leave me alone that I may consume this people, Brother Depo. Not Moses. Leave me alone that I might consume this people and build a bigger, a better nation. How long will they not believe me with all the signs that I have performed among them? Lack of trust in what God declared through his servant Moses. And God's people were in Egypt under the affliction of Pharaoh. It wasn't Pharaoh that was afflicting them. God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You hear that? For I know their sorrows. God not only knows our afflictions, brethren, he sees them. And this alone is a comfort to know that God is watching. The Bible says his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord Jesus, in instructing his disciples in the upper room, days before the cross, said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome, Linda, the world. If you do not see yourself as an overcomer, if you only see yourself as a victim, all you have to look forward for is the undertaker. Is either you are an overcomer in trials, or you are simply waiting for the undertaker. Peter bore this text, casting all your care upon him, from Psalm 55, and he was a student of the Bible. 55 verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will only sustain those who have cast.
Or you use the past tense word. I use the present because you are casting.
Notice this verse carefully. One, you and I are to cast our burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55. Two, he does the sustaining, and he shall sustain thee.
The problem is you and I want to sustain yourself.
We want to be in charge.
And God is saying, no, you're not in charge.
Thus they never cast their sins on him. Third, he's the one that keeps. He shall never suffer or permit the righteous to be moved.
The righteous, of course, is Christ.
He's still there. He still keeps his people.
Therefore, we saw our stated problem, worry and anxiety, that Peter called care. We see our commanded instruction from the apostle. The apostolic instruction, casting your care upon him. Word is in the continuous tense. Keep on casting. Third, we see our helper. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The him and he refers to our helper, the Savior, the Lord. Who's greater than our worry and our anxiety and our suffering? He's a believer's helper. The reason why many in the church always seem to be distressed and oppressed by something is because their eyes are fixed the wrong place, on themselves and not on the Savior. They have no eyes to see him. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. That pain, Sister Edwards, be content. The apostle is saying, be content with such things as you have, like a house and a car. No, with whatever you have. Your current circumstance, be content. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And here is the resolve in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's your helper. Just watch your conversation, your behavior, how you carry yourself in the church, in this life, among your peers. Be content with those trials. Be content with your lot. Ask the Lord to be your help and your stay every day, twice a day, three times a day, or seven times a day. You got to be set in sin? Go on your knees regularly before the Lord. So having seen these things, you may ask, well, how is this done? It's all right to say it, but how is this done? How do I cast all my care upon him? You can cast them by telling him what they are. Now, if your burden is a cherished sin that is weighing you down, you may not want to cast that on him. You love that sin. You ain't casting that nowhere. If you are laden with sin, you need repentance. But if you are carrying the burdens of this life, you need to find the mercy seat. The great apostle Paul went to the Lord three times with that which was troubling him.
Jesus concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. God is not going to creep up on us and snatch away the problem. Or the sin, He's not going to ease up and say, give me the sin, I'll take it. Paul said, I prayed 3 times. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul had a resolve too. He says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Can you imagine that? Sometimes some of the best sermons a man preach is at his weakest times on the pulpit. He's afflicted. You may not know. His head is blocked up with sinus. He's sniffling, but he's delivering for God. Whatever burden Paul had was cast before his Lord. He got the answer. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in that situation. You may not like this answer. Paul did. He said, most gladly. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. What you think is weakness is strength for God. How is she holding up under those circumstances? God's strength. We can also take an example from our primary example. Jesus carried a great burden. He's called a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. If he's acquainted with grief, I can give it to him. Gladly. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Oh, Father, if it be possible, anything is possible with God. Take this cup, let it pass from me. But notice what he said quickly. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. You may not like this either. You may not like that in your life. God's will. You may not like the nevertheless. You and I must be perfectly satisfied with what God has ordained. The moment you try to change His will, you do great damage to yourself. How does one cast their cares upon the Lord? By coming to Him regularly in prayer. Tell Him your troubles. He knows. Ask for strength. Draw strength from the Word of God, the preached Word, as well as the Word that you read. Everything you read, you cannot understand. And that's why God has provided the means, the shepherds. And some of you don't like that. You are sporadic. No accountability. As though the shepherd doesn't care. He's treated like a dog. You need to read 1 Peter 5 again. How else do one cast their care upon Him? 2. By personalizing God's promises. You know what I mean? By personalizing God's promises. Many people who come to church are not even aware of God's promises. They only pick up their Bibles when they're coming to church. And they may scruff through 2 verses in a week. But no assimilation of God's Word. No meditation on God's Word. None. Well, they're Christians. No wonder they are pulled apart. Personalizing God's word. Claiming it. Lord, you have said, be content with such things as you have. Lord, give me contentment. That I may show forth the right spirit in the midst of the people. And take away this complaining attitude. How are you today? I'm doing great. Body riddled with pain. I'm doing great. How else do one cast their care upon him? How else? I'm helping us to understand how to put it into shoe leather. Three, stop pitying yourself. Self-pity is a recipe for backsliding. The moment I hear self-pity, watch out. Been around too long. Pastor, you know how difficult it is for me. You don't really look out. I don't want to understand. I ain't God. Elijah said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and they have digged down your altars. I'm the only one living. They're seeking my life. God said to him, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. I have 7,000 who haven't bowed to Baal or kissed his hand. I have 7,000 more. But it's just like you are better. Peter says, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brethren. When you stop and think, there are other people that are Christians that are going through worse. I will speak to you, our dearly beloved Pastor Albert Martin lost his wife last week. She was buried on Thursday. They're planning to move Pastor Martin back in an area, and I don't think he would mind me telling you, where he can be monitored. It fell a couple times. When you look at people like this, you see that you're not the only one. Pastor Blaze, our friend, has vascular dementia. A man who was a strapping athlete, who ran 2 blocks. The last time he went for a walk a few years ago, maybe 3, couldn't find his way back home. We don't know what's going to happen to us. Stop pitying yourself. It's a recipe for backsliding. And also a downfall. You will do something silly when you pity yourself. Some of my most grievous sins were committed when I pity myself. Personal sins. When you think that you're the only one in a given situation, God have a host of servants standing in the midst of suffering to glorify him. Psalmist Asaph was beside himself until God brought him to his spiritual senses. He says, for all the day long have been I plagued and chastened every morning. And if I speak thus, behold, I would offend people. Oh, if I say something, everybody's upset. Asaph, the man of God. You know what else he says? He says, when I thought to know this, it was painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Until I went into the closet, until I opened up the scriptures, the sanctuary, I understood what is going to happen to those without Christ that are living in prosperity and luxury. I understood. You know what he said? So foolish was I. Who does I have on earth but thee? And who else did I have in heaven beside you? My flesh rests in hope. For God, I don't remember the text, I don't want to misquote it, but you know the psalm. You want to know how you and I can triumph over anxiety and worry in these hard times in this world we live. You must see the stated problem. It's a problem. Worry. It will render you fruitless. It will deprive you of the joy and fellowship of the Lord. It will keep you away from the fellowship of God's people. There's an instruction given. Cast your care, all of them, one big bag. Keep them together. Cast them upon Him. 3, He's the helper of God's people. He is caring for you. He's a helper. A word to those of us who are here with us without the Savior. Don't show any kind of fruit that you are a changed person. That's what I mean. People of this world will resort to other means than casting their burden on the Lord. Some may cast their care, unfortunately, on themselves, and some may even seek to end their own lives because of overwhelming fears. Just remember, that's not the child of God. Just remember, it is the thief who comes to kill, who comes to steal, who comes to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. All of the silly joys you think that you're losing, the thief offers to your destruction. All of the joys and the comforts that you are neglecting, Jesus came to give you that. I must end evangelistically this morning, Charlie. I must bring it to you who are pretending that you are a Christian. And some of you are. All of the things that you are endeavoring to accomplish in this life will come to naught. They'll make you anxious. All of the things you are neglecting will be beneficial to you in eternity. It is time to cast your sins upon Him. Come. And may the Lord help us to understand why it is necessary to preempt at times messages that we think, that we like, and that we know. Forget them. May the Lord be gracious to us today. Let's pray. Holy, righteous God in heaven, we have often struggled in the delivery of your word, but in these struggles, we pray you will bless your word. Lord, the greatest burden we can cast on you is our sins, Lord. And we are told that there have been cast in the depths of the seas behind your back. And the devil bring them to our minds at times. But Lord, we pray that we would leave them there, and we would say, as the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things that are of the past and pressing for those things ahead. I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Help us to press on in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.